Hi, everyone. My name is Isabel. A few years ago, my dad had a heart attack at work and passed away. His sudden death changed our lives forever. My mom had no job and no marketable skills either. We had some money saved up from when my dad had been working. At first, we were getting by on that, but soon that money ran out and things got bad. We weren't able to pay our bills. One day, my mom said to me, "Isabel, I want to talk to you about something important. Our landlord Ted wants to marry me. He divorced his wife 4 years ago. He has two daughters, but they live with their mom. I don't know him that well, but he seems like a good person. I'm going to say yes. I'm doing this for both of us. Please try to understand me." My mom is a really beautiful woman. I had only seen this man once before. He's 10 or 15 years older than my mom. He knew we were having money problems since we weren't able to pay the rent. He was trying to take advantage of my mom. No matter how much I pleaded with her, my mom wouldn't listen to me and married him. As I got to know him better, it became clear that my mom had made a big mistake. Ted was an arrogant man who talked about his money all the time. He was living on the rent money he got from his properties. He had no other job. He was home all day. He was clearly using my mom as his maid. For example, every Sunday, he would hand my mom a list. It spelled out one by one all the dishes my mom had to cook for lunch and dinner that week. He would grade each dish after every meal. And he wasn't very generous with the grades either. The worst part was that the whole time he would talk about how good his ex-wife's cooking was. My mom really wanted me to get along with Ted. I decided I would try to do my best. I saved up my allowance to buy him a nice pen for his birthday. My mom was insisting that I call him Dad. I wrote a little note saying, "To my dad, with love," and put it inside the gift box. Ted frowned when he saw the note. "I think it's too early for you to call me Dad. First, you need to prove to me that you are my daughter," he said. I was so upset. I glanced at my mom. She felt terrible too. It was around that time that something happened that made things even worse. I woke up one morning and saw that there was another girl around my age at home. It was Ted's younger daughter, Pia. She'd had a huge fight with her mom, so she had decided to move in with us. I'd just gotten a stepfather, and now I had a stepsister too. At first, I thought maybe we could be friends, but unfortunately, Pia turned out to be just like her dad. One evening, she yelled to my mom, "Your food is too greasy. I gained weight because of you." But she was already chubby when she arrived. I think that she's been like that since she was a kid. She made that up just to blame my mom. The thing that annoyed me the most about Pia was that she was extremely jealous. She was so jealous of me, and she didn't even feel the need to hide it. I'll give you one example. I had an orange dress. One day, my mom had commented, "This dress looks good on you," and I said, "Yes, I love it too." When I wanted to put on that dress again a few weeks later, I saw that there was a huge hole right on the front. Furious, I went to Pia and screamed, "Did you do this?" She smirked and said, "Of course I did. Who else?" After Pia began living with us, Ted started treating me even worse. Pia didn't go to college because her grades were bad. I, on the other hand, was a good student. I wanted to study psychology in college. I was talking to my mom about it. She went and told Ted. He came to me and said, "Don't even dream of going to college. You're not smart enough for that." That night, I cried until morning. I had to get out of that house, but I couldn't see any way of doing that. One day, the miracle that I needed happened. My phone rang. The person on the line said, "I'm your grandmother. I would like to meet you and your mom if you let me." We met up the next day. When my dad was only 4 years old, my grandmother abandoned him. He never forgave her for that. In the years that followed, she tried to get in touch with him many times, but my dad refused to communicate with her. She told us all about this in tears. "He was right because I'd left him. I have immense regret. However, unfortunately, it's not possible to turn back time." My grandmother had just recently found out that my dad had died. She thought we might be able to use some help with money, so she tracked us down and finally reached me. She told us, "My second husband was very wealthy. I lost him last year. I have no one to share this fortune with. Do you want to move in with me?" she asked. My mom was pregnant at that time. She said, "I have a new family now, but I know Isabel is not happy. She can live with you if she likes." My grandmother seemed like a really nice person. Even if she wasn't, I'd still move in with her, since my stepfather and stepsister were making my life unbearable. I agreed right away. That night, I said goodbye to my mom and left home. My grandmother was really wealthy. She lived in a magnificent mansion. The best part was that she was even kinder than I thought. She kept telling me, "I feel like I've been born again. Isabel, I'm so grateful to you for making me feel this way. I'll send you to the best schools. Eventually, all this will belong to you anyway." I didn't care about being rich. I was at peace now. And that was more valuable to me than all the money in the world. That summer, something unexpected happened. My grandmother suddenly died after an accident. She went out on a tour of the Greek islands with her close friends. While swimming in the sea, a poisonous fish stung her. They didn't make it to the hospital in time. She died on the way. I was incredibly sad. She had once told me, "When I die, I'd like you to build a school so that my name can live on." I immediately got to work to make her wish come true. My mom and I talked on the phone a lot. She had her baby. I had a brother now. I think she wasn't happy at all, and her husband continued to treat her badly, but she still never mentioned anything to me. I told her, "Come live here with me. You don't have to put up with that man." But she wouldn't listen to me. My mom is a good-natured person and a loyal wife. Ted was taking advantage of her qualities. One day, my mom called me. She sounded very sad. "Your stepdad wants to visit you," she said. "No way! I don't want anything to do with him," I yelled. My mom said, "Isabel, this is really important. Will you please see him for me?" I couldn't say no. I wondered what he wanted from me. Ted came over the next day. He wasn't that smug, arrogant man anymore. When he said, "Isabel, we don't get along too well, but I still like you very much," I couldn't help but smirk. That was an outright lie. Still, I didn't say anything. "Perhaps your mother has told you. My daughter Pia has a very rare, very severe type of muscle disorder," he went on. I was shocked. I said, "No, I had no idea." Apparently, my mom had kept this from me so as not to upset me with her own troubles. My stepdad looked into my eyes and said, "My daughter is dying, Isabel. I came here to ask for your help." I knew Ted had a lot of money, so I was confused. "What exactly do you want from me?" I asked. "There's a drug for Pia's condition. A single dose will be enough to cure her, but this is the most expensive drug in the world. It's only produced for 20 people every year. I sold all my properties, but I still only have enough money to cover half of its cost. Please help me with the rest. My daughter can't move at all right now. When it gets to her heart muscle, she'll be dead. I beg you, help us." After he said all that, my stepdad started sobbing. Neither Ted nor Pia is a good person. You know this already. Ted ruined both my and my mom's life. My grandmother saved me from that house. What would have happened to me if I'd stayed there? Would you help them if you were in my place? You probably would. Without even thinking, I told him, "I'll give you the money you need," but I couldn't stop myself. "I don't think you deserve it, but I'll still help you," I continued. Ted started crying again. "You're right, I don't deserve it. I know it as well as you," he said. I was so sad to see Pia. She was all skin and bone. She couldn't even move her eyeballs, but she was conscious. I whispered into her ear, "You will be fine, but please be a better person in your new life." Even though I didn't want to say things like that, I couldn't help myself. The drug was really expensive, but just as my stepdad had said, a single dose was enough to cure her disorder. Her condition is improving every day. Even though she still can't talk, I can see her thanking me with her eyes. Meanwhile, my stepdad, Ted, changed a lot. Since he was so deeply shaken by this, he's no longer hostile. My mom, of course, is really happy about his new behavior. I'm busy with the construction of the school that I'm building in my grandmother's name. My stepfather comes to help with the construction, not expecting anything in return. I don't think I'll ever have a close relationship with him, but at least now I can rest easy, knowing that he will no longer treat my mom badly.
Hey everyone, I'm Otis. I became a millionaire when I was still in high school, and I made all that money myself. I made a decision. I worked really hard and was able to reach my goal. But ultimately, I ended up losing all the money I made. It all happened within a year and a half. How did I manage to get rich so quickly and then lose it all just as fast? You'll find out when you hear my story. My dad died when I was little. He had worked at a paint factory for years. He had been exposed to so many chemicals that his body couldn't take it. After that, my mom had to work two jobs to support our family. On weekdays, she worked at a flower shop and on weekends at a pizzeria. My sister and I barely saw her. She'd leave before we got up and come back after we'd gone to bed. That was the only way she could manage to pay all the bills. One morning, we woke up and Mom was home. She had a fever and a bad cough. She stayed in bed for 3 weeks. We realized during that time that if Mom couldn't work, we'd literally go hungry. We didn't have any savings for situations like these. The fridge was empty within a week, and the pantry within 2 weeks. By the third week, there was nothing left to eat. My mom still wasn't feeling great, but she had to go back to work. That's when I started thinking about money. At first, it wasn't about getting rich or anything. I wondered how I could help my mom so that at least she wouldn't have to work on weekends. If you come from a poor family, you often grow up to be poor too. My grandparents had problems with money all their lives. Sadly, poverty is passed down through generations. It's not easy to break that cycle, but I was determined to do it. I got a piece of paper and wrote, "How can I make money?" I searched the internet for hours. I wrote down everything I found. Then I began to try the ideas that made sense to me. The first thing I decided to try was pretty ridiculous. I was going to pick up money that people dropped. Initially, this seemed like a great idea because I was going to go to places where people were likely to drop their money, like vending machines. Let's say you drop a coin while you're putting money into a vending machine. What do? You casually look at the floor. If you don't see the coin right away, you reach in your pocket for another one. So I started going around to vending machines after school to see if I could find any loose change. The other place I thought I could find money was restaurant drive-thrus. You have to reach your hand out of the car window to make a payment and get change. If some change drops to the floor, few people would get out of their car to pick it up. So in addition to vending machines, I also went to drive-thrus to look for money. Did I find any? Yes, but very little. It would take me 100 years to make some decent money like this. So I decided to give up on this strategy after a week. It was a bad idea to depend on finding change on the floor. I also crossed out winning the lottery, finding oil in the backyard, and suddenly inheriting money from an unknown relative from my list of potential options. I had to find more rational ways to make money. I looked through my list again. When I was researching ways to make money, I had made a section called entrepreneurship and noted some ideas. The first one was starting a YouTube channel, then starting a website, and then making a mobile game. When I saw the next one, I stopped, finding a unique product idea. Wait a second, I actually already had such an idea. In fact, when I told people about it, they all said it would totally sell. Wanna know what this great idea is? An umbrella for dogs. I started jumping with joy. I found what I was looking for. Every time I took our dog Taco out in the rain, I always wondered, why isn't there a special umbrella for dogs? Taco would always get so wet during his walk, and then he'd make a huge mess at home when we came back. A dog umbrella would solve this problem. And on top of that, dogs wouldn't get cold from being wet. My sister had a small umbrella that she used when she was younger, so I decided to use it for my first prototype. After a lot of work, I finally did it. At first, Taco didn't like it and tried to get rid of it, but I was sure he'd love it when he saw how well it worked when it rained. I was proud of it. It looked great. More importantly, it was functional. All dog owners would want to buy this. But now there was a huge obstacle ahead. How would I be able to mass produce it? Also, people had to be able to buy it in places like supermarkets and pet shops. How could I manage that? I didn't have any money, so I needed to find an investor. But who would trust a 15-year-old with their investment? And even if they did, could I trust them? What if they stole my idea? How could I protect myself? An hour ago, I was super happy, but now I was so stressed. I started thinking, I can never do this. I got my hopes up for nothing. Here was a great opportunity, but I couldn't make it work. Then I had an idea. Only someone around my age would support me. I remembered a young entrepreneur that I saw on YouTube. What do I have to lose? I'll just DM him on Instagram, I said to myself. I trusted him, so I told him a bit about my idea and asked, would you support something like this? I gave him my phone number. He called the next day. I had unbelievable challenges when I was building my business. So I try to support good ideas as much as I can. Let's meet tomorrow and talk. I think this product has a customer base, he said. Things moved really quickly after that. I had a partner now. I felt like I was in a dream. We started working immediately. We got a professional team to help us finalize the design of the umbrella. Then we found a factory that would produce it. We started advertising on social media when we got the first umbrellas. They received a lot more attention than we anticipated. Almost every dog that was out in the rain now had one of our umbrellas. I was so proud of myself, and just as I had dreamed, I was making a lot of money. I wanted to buy a house in the best neighborhood and move there with my family. I looked at houses with a real estate agent. I found a really beautiful one. I wanted to show it to my mom before buying it, but my mom said she didn't want to move. I can't change my life so quickly. Plus, we lived here with your dad for many years. I don't want to leave our memories behind, she said. I was so surprised. I insisted, but she wouldn't change her mind. If you want, you can live in that house. It's your right. Your sister can come and stay with you from time to time. But I have a condition. Don't drop out of school. I want you to at least graduate high school, she said. I went to the office the next day. I told my partner I was going to buy a house. He said, don't do it. He had just partnered with a new venture that was trading cryptocurrencies. Rent the house instead of buying it. You should invest that money in Bitcoin. You'll make enough money to buy 3 houses next year, he said. I trusted him, so I followed his advice. I wanted to support his new firm anyways. So I invested all my money in cryptocurrency, or Bitcoin to be precise. Our umbrellas were selling like hotcakes. I still couldn't believe how quickly my dreams had come true. But I didn't handle getting rich so quickly very well. I was still just a kid. I spent so much money on stuff I didn't need. For example, once I saw an Iron Man costume online that was the same as the one used in the movie. I didn't even look at the price and just bought it. Now I realize that costume cost as much as a luxury car. By the way, I did have 3 amazing sports cars, but I was too young to have a license, so I couldn't even drive them. That was another weird thing that I did. 3 or 4 months went by. One day, my partner called me in for a meeting. He said our sales were falling very quickly. The dog umbrella was easy to imitate, so we had a lot of competition now. Business was great when ours was the only one on the market, but not anymore. If we didn't do something, we'd go bankrupt. We immediately came up with new product ideas. For example, we made a raincoat for dogs, but it didn't sell. I really thought it would. We had thousands of raincoats that we couldn't sell, so we lost a lot of money. Around the same time that the umbrella sales plummeted, the worst thing happened. Bitcoin, which I had invested all my money in, lost a lot of value overnight. My partner said, "Don't worry, it'll go back up again." But it didn't. I lost all my money. I couldn't even pay my rent. I sold the cars and whatever I had in the house. That money lasted only 3 to 4 months. Normally, that money should have lasted me 3 or 4 years, but I had gotten used to spending a lot and couldn't stop even when I didn't have the same income anymore. When I ran out of money, I moved back to my mom's house. I only had the Iron Man costume with me because I couldn't find anyone to buy it. My mom said, "Welcome home," and hugged me. I'd been sending her money every month. It turned out that she saved it all because she kept on working. This money is for college for you and your sister. You proved yourself once. When you finish school, I'm sure you'll be successful again. In fact, you'll be even more successful because you'll have learned from your mistakes, she said, making me feel better. You might find it weird, but I wasn't so sad after losing all my money. Now I understand why. My life had changed so quickly. When I was rich, it all felt like a dream. So when I lost it all, it still felt like it was a dream. Since it was all like a dream, it didn't make sense to be upset. Thanks for listening to my story. If you like stories based on real life, you can subscribe to this channel now. Bye.
Hi, everyone. I'm Bree. I'm 16. My mom left me when I was just a baby. I never knew her. My dad says she couldn't handle the responsibility of raising a child because she was too young. One morning, she went out to the grocery store and never came back. My grandmother raised me. My dad would visit us often, but it was my grandmother who was my real parent. The time I lived with her were the best years of my life. When I was 12, my dad remarried. His new wife had a daughter the same age. My dad took me to their house to meet them. I stayed there for one night. His new wife completely ignored me. Her daughter, Sadie, was only interested in her phone. It was pretty obvious that neither of them liked me. But I didn't care because I thought I would never have to live with them. But unfortunately, when my grandmother passed away last year, I had to move in with them. My stepmother started treating me badly from day one. She made me do all the housework. I even had to clean Sadie's room. She was incredibly mean to me. For example, during breakfast, she'd say, "Aren't you full yet? You've had enough to eat. Go take out the trash." I was really unhappy, but I didn't tell my dad about it so as not to upset him. He was working in the finance department of a big real estate developer. The finance manager transferred hundreds of thousands of dollars into his personal account. My dad didn't know anything about it, but he got arrested anyway. He didn't have the money to hire a good lawyer, so he ended up going to jail. My life wasn't going great to begin with, and when my dad went to jail, things got even worse. One day, my stepmother told me, "We're broke because of your father. You need to quit school and start working. If you want to live here, you need to bring in money." So I had to drop out of school. Of course, this rule did not apply to my stepmother's daughter. Sadie kept going to school, but I had to get a job at a call center. Since I had to deal with one stressful event after another, I got acne all over my face. I couldn't recognize myself in the mirror. The people I worked with looked at me with pity. There was this guy I liked. One day I heard him mocking me, saying, "This girl shouldn't leave the house. She has no right to make the rest of us uncomfortable." I was really devastated. I couldn't sleep that night. I cried for a long time. I wanted to go to a dermatologist, but I couldn't afford to. I was giving all the money I earned to my stepmother as soon as I got it. My acne was getting worse every day. I thought I should at least try some natural remedies. There were so many formulas for anti-acne face masks online. I picked one that used ingredients I could easily find. I just needed almond oil, apple cider vinegar, and honey. I borrowed money from a friend to buy these. That night, I made a mixture and put it on. But when I washed my face in the morning, I was disappointed to see it hadn't worked at all. My grandmother would always say, "Nature has a cure for everything." I began reading everything I could find about natural treatments for acne. For example, do you know why many formulas use apple cider vinegar? Because vinegar is very effective against bacteria and fungi. As I learned more, I started to believe I could develop my own formula. I was testing new face masks on myself all the time. Although some of them were somewhat effective, I still had acne. One day, as I was doing research, I came across some information about a plant I'd never heard of. Women in rural areas use this plant to regulate their hormones during pregnancy. I thought it could work because one of the main causes of acne is hormones. I looked all over the city and I found the dried leaves of this plant in a little shop. That evening, I prepared a new face mask using the leaves and applied it. When I woke up in the morning, I ran to the bathroom to wash my face. When I removed the mask, I was amazed. My acne was completely gone. There was someone else in the mirror. I don't usually cry much, but that morning I bawled my eyes out from happiness. Everyone at work was surprised. They asked me how I did it, but I didn't tell them my secret. I had a friend who had an acne problem like me. I had brought the mixture for her to try. I told her, put this on your face tonight before you go to sleep. Let's see if it works for you. Next morning, I woke up because my phone was ringing. My friend was video calling me. She was so excited. There's not one spot left on my face. Bree, this is the magic cure. You can become a millionaire selling this stuff, and you'll deserve every penny, she said, thanking me over and over again. I had developed a plant-based formula that makes acne disappear after just one use. I thought I really could get rich. I made an Instagram account. I sent the link to my friend and asked for her opinion. She shared my Instagram account with everyone she knew. She wrote, "This worked wonders for me. Get it if you have an acne problem." That night, I made 6 sales over Instagram. The next day, I sold 13. The numbers kept growing. A month later, I was getting nearly 100 orders a day. People wanted even more, but I couldn't produce the masks fast enough. Why? Because I could only work at night so that my stepmother and Sadie wouldn't find out. During the day, I was still working at the call center. I was making a ton of money. I was hiding it all in my room because I had nowhere else to keep it. I had a teddy bear that I got from my ex as a birthday present. I took out all the stuffing and filled it with money. Then I neatly sewed it back. The money kept coming in. I bought another teddy bear. I stuffed it with money just like the other one. I kept buying more and more and ended up with 13 teddy bears in my room. I had to find another hiding place soon because having that many teddy bears didn't look normal. After a while, my worst fear came true. My stepmother called me while I was at work. I picked up the phone. "What is this money inside a teddy bear? Is that yours?" she asked. I was caught by surprise, so I said something ridiculous. My stepmother said angrily, "My friend's son had an appendectomy. Sadie saw all these teddy bears in your room. We thought we could bring one of them to the boy as a gift. While he was playing, he realized it was full of money. Whose money is this? You'll have to explain this to me tonight." I was in such a panic. I ran out of work and jumped into a cab. I was going home. If my stepmother was still at the hospital, I could move the money somewhere safe before she got back. Good plan, but where would I take it? I had an idea. There was someone I could ask for help. I called the friend who was so grateful to me for treating her acne and was thanking me every chance she got. I told her briefly about what was happening. "I'll do whatever you want. I'd be so happy to help you," she said. She paused for a moment and screamed, "I have a great idea! I have to speak with my dad right now!" I was so relieved when I got home because no one was there. 15 minutes later, my friend and her dad arrived in a huge RV. We carried the teddy bears to the RV together. My friend's dad said, "Thanks to you, my daughter got her life back. We're so grateful to you." We went to an RV park all the way across the city. My friend and her dad got in a cab and went home. Yes, this was my friend's idea. I was going to live in their RV for a while. I was feeling really good about myself because from now on, I could do whatever I wanted. I got rid of my old phone so that my stepmother wouldn't be able to reach me and got a new one. I had something important I had to do. I searched online for a lawyer and found one. I met him in his office the next day. I ended up hiring him to look into my dad's case. My stepmother wouldn't tell me where my father was being detained so that I wouldn't be able to visit him. So first off, the lawyer had to find out where my dad was. Then I went and bought a whole bunch of the ingredients I used to make the acne mask. I was going to convert the RV into a small lab. Meanwhile, the lawyer called. He found out which facility my dad was kept in. "If you want to visit him, I can come and pick you up in an hour," he said. I'd missed my dad so much. The second I saw him in his prison clothes, I started crying. The lawyer left us alone. I told my dad everything. He was so sad to hear what I'd gone through. He said, "Your stepmother never comes to visit me. I was so worried about you because I had no way of knowing how you were. I'm going to divorce her as soon as I leave this place and I'll be a better father to you." And he hugged me. Then we talked to the lawyer. He said that there wasn't enough evidence to keep my father in jail. Our lawyer turned out to be really good. He quickly found many witnesses to prove that my dad was innocent. After he got out of prison, my dad and I lived in the RV for a while. I was really rich now. We bought a 3-story house. I turned the entire top floor into a lab. I hired 5, because my friend who helped me out is now working with me as well. We can now produce 800 acne masks per day. My dad took some time to get himself together and then went to meet my stepmother. She started crying, saying, "I always loved Bree so much. Bring her back home. We can be the happiest family in the world." My dad said that wasn't an option anymore and that he was going to file for divorce as soon as possible. She kept saying, "I beg you, please give me a chance. I missed you and Bree so much," lying to his face. My dad yelled, "Enough! How dumb do you think we are? You're only after Bree's money," and left her right there. My stepmother is still texting my dad several times a day, but thankfully my dad finally saw her true self. He's not buying her cheap lies anymore. If you liked my story, please don't forget to like this video. Thanks so much for listening to me. See you.
Hi, friends. My name is Ava. I'm 17. Unfortunately, I don't see my family anymore. I don't pick up the phone when they call. I'll tell you why in a little while. All I ask is that you let me know what you think after hearing my story. Who do you think is right, them or me? My parents began dating during their freshman year of college. My mom got pregnant unexpectedly. They were really young, but their parents made them get married. I was born soon after the wedding. Because they were still students, they had neither the time nor the money to take care of me. My mom's parents said they could take me in and look after me. But back then, they lived in another city, really far away. My parents used that as an excuse to never come visit me. When I started speaking, I called my grandparents, Mom and Dad. I didn't see my parents again until I was 6 years old. When I found out they were coming, I was so excited I couldn't sleep. Until then, we had only talked over the phone. I was so curious about them. Did my mother have long hair or short? Did my father wear glasses? Was I supposed to call them Mom and Dad from now on? I was up all night with all these childish questions in my head. I remember the moment I saw them very clearly. My mom gave me a big hug, but my dad only said, "You've grown so much," and just stroked my hair. I thought they were going to take me home and that I was going to live with them from now on. But that wasn't their plan. They told my grandma, "Ava is so happy with you. We'll keep working for a little longer and try to make things better. We'll take her to live with us the first chance we get." But for some reason, that chance never came. 4 years passed. I'd lost all hope and stopped waiting for them. Unfortunately, one evening my grandmother suddenly passed away. My parents came. They decided to put my grandfather in a nursing home. Now they had no choice but to take me with them. After a while, I figured out why they never wanted me all these years. Even though I was their child, we had never developed an emotional bond because we'd never spent any time together. They didn't feel close to me, and I didn't feel close to them. We lived in the same house, but we were strangers. They almost never bothered to talk to me. After a while, I began to feel like a parasite in their house. I had a hard time calling them Mom and Dad because I didn't feel like they were my parents. 2 years passed like this. I wasn't happy at all. I missed my loving grandparents so much. One day, I had noticed that my mother's belly had grown. When my mother saw me staring at it, she said, "You're going to have a brother soon." At that moment, I got really upset. Can you believe it? My mother didn't even bother telling me she was pregnant. I realized once again that my parents really didn't care about me. When my brother Ethan was born, it got even worse because I saw how warm and loving they could actually be as parents. My mother left her job to spend all her time with my brother. And even though my father was really tired when he came back from work, he would play with Ethan for hours, and I could see that he really enjoyed it. On the weekends, they would go out with Ethan and stay out all day. Of course, they never took me with them. Before they'd leave, my mother would tell me, "I put Ethan's clothes in the washing machine. Wash them and put them in the dryer. And don't forget to iron your dad's shirts." Normally, I would have no problem doing that, but it hurt me so much that chores were the only reason she was communicating with me. Thankfully, I wasn't alone. At least I could share what I was going through with my best friend, Harper. She really helped me get through this. I would go to her place every time I was feeling down since she lived really close to me. Even though I kept telling her about the same things, she always listened. She would stroke my hair without saying a word as I cried, and that really comforted me. Harper ended up doing me a huge favor at that time. I'm still grateful to her for it. Her family had to move abroad because of her father's job at the State Department, but Harper didn't want to go with them, so her parents found her a boarding school. Harper asked me, "Do you want to come to the boarding school with me?" I told her, "That's a great idea, but I don't know what my folks will say." At the same time, I kind of knew they would be really into the idea. And that's exactly what happened. When I told my parents, they looked at each other. They tried not to show it, but I could tell they were thrilled. My father said, "Sure, you can go if that's what you would like." My mother just nodded. She was trying really hard to hide her smile. Their reaction didn't upset me because I knew them well enough by then. I was just happy I wouldn't have to put up with them anymore. Boarding school instantly changed my life. Our school was located in a forest. I finally felt at peace. Harper and I went on long walks together. We had just started hearing about TikTok then. It wasn't as huge as it is now. Harper and I started a channel together. We would make new videos on our forest walks and post them. We were staying on top of all the big trends. Our follower count was going up. There was only one problem. Most people at school looked down on us when they heard about TikTok. Unfortunately, Harper would get upset about it. But I was used to this kind of thing from my family. It used to be Harper who comforted me, and now it was me comforting her. That's how we kept making videos. As TikTok got more popular, we began reaching more people. The best part is, after a while, brands began taking TikTok seriously. We were getting collaboration proposals. At first, the rates were really low, but soon the pay got better. Now I was making good money, and this gave me an incredible boost of self-esteem. With the money I earned, I was going to be able to pay for college after I graduated. Meanwhile, Harper and I had become legitimate TikTok stars. A TV channel DM'd us to say they wanted to make a news piece about us. The school gave us the okay, and we did it. In the piece, they called us high schoolers who made it on TikTok. At some point during the interview, the reporter asked, "How much are you making from TikTok?" Harper jokingly said, "We don't want to give you a number, but we're definitely making much more than our parents." We laughed about it during the shoot. I couldn't have predicted it at the time, but that sentence would completely change my life. Even though it only aired on a small channel, my father saw the story. Ever since I arrived at the boarding school, my mom would only text me once a month to ask, "Is everything okay?" And I'd write back, "All's good." That was the extent of our communication. My father never even called once. But he called immediately after seeing the news story. "Is what your friend's saying true? Are you really making a lot of money on TikTok?" "I'm making something," I said. I was upset that he was calling me about money. He said, "How much are you making? You're not even 18 yet. You should give that money to me. I'm your father." I'd heard enough. I said, "Did you just realize that you're my father when you heard I had money? I used to think that you were my father too, but over the years, you taught me that you, in fact, were not," and I hung up on him. He called again many times, but I didn't pick up. Then my mother started calling too. I didn't answer her calls either. They sent me a million texts. They were shamelessly going on about money. Under normal circumstances, I could have sent them all the money I had, but I was so pissed they were after my money that I promised myself I would never give them anything, not even one penny. That evening, Harper and I did some research online. According to what we read, if I had been living with my parents, they would have had the right to take all my money. But if you don't live in the same house, then it's up to the judge to decide. So if you can convince the judge, then the parents can't touch your money. The next day, my father came to my school, but there was a surprise waiting for him. I wasn't at school. I figured he would do something like this. So Harper and I got up really early in the morning and left school. Harper's father got us an appointment with a lawyer. We went to the lawyer's office. I told her everything. She told me, "You were raised by your grandparents. If you move back in with your grandfather, your parents can't touch you, because from what I understand, all your parents care about right now is your money. Once we prove that in court, the judge will rule in your favor. After that, you can live with your grandfather, and no one can make a claim on your money." That's exactly what happened. My lawyer, Felicia, saved me from my greedy family. They can't touch me anymore. With some of the money I made, I bought a nice house where I could live with my grandfather. But I had to leave boarding school when we moved there, so Harper ended up moving in with us. Now we go to a new school together. By the way, I'm sure you want to know what our TikTok account is, but due to legal reasons, it's not possible for me to share this with you. I can only give you a hint. Recently, my grandfather has been making appearances in many of our videos. Thank you for listening to my story. I want to remind you of my initial question. Who do you think is right, my parents or me? Please let me know in the comments. See you.